You click buy on a website, and a package from another continent just appears on your doorstep just a few days later.
Right, like magic.
Exactly, like magic. But how does that magic actually happen? And I mean, more importantly, how do businesses manage the chaos behind the scenes without going completely bankrupt?
Because it is chaos, yeah. Welcome to our deep dive,
Yeah,
everyone.
welcome. Today we are extracting the ultimate playbook for navigating global trade. We're looking at a very comprehensive B2B logistics guide that covers, transit times, customs rules, pricing structures, and tech solutions like FreightCom.
Yeah, and we are specifically zeroing in on the high-demand shipping route from Canada to the UK. It is a perfect case study for this invisible machinery.
Right, because I mean, we are so spoiled by the modern internet. You see the cardboard box arrive, but you're completely blind to the physics and the politics operating in between the warehouse and your front door.
We really are. And whether you are an entrepreneur trying to break into the European market or just, an avid online shopper, understanding this route explains why shipping is no longer just moving boxes.
No, it's a core business strategy now.
Exactly. The UK is one of Canada's major trade partners. So you have a massive variety of goods crossing this route daily. We're talking fashion and apparel, consumer electronics, industrial parts, health products,
Basically everything.
right, general consumer goods. But the UK customer has incredibly high expectations. They demand fast delivery, clear timelines, and real-time tracking.
Which makes sense. I mean, we treat an ocean like it's a crosstown street now. Consumers expect transatlantic shipping to feel like a local pizza delivery,
That's a great way to put it.
which puts immense pressure on businesses to just, perform miracles.
It really does. If a UK buyer is browsing a Canadian store and they see a vague delivery in 2 to 4 weeks message, they don't just accept it, they abandon the cart.
They close the tab.
Yep. And they buy from a local competitor. Meeting those expectations is absolutely crucial for a business's conversion rates and retaining customers.
Okay, so since customers are demanding this pizza delivery speed across a literal ocean, we need to look at the physics of how that actually
The
happens.
physics of fulfillment.
Right. So obviously there's air freight and ocean freight. Ocean freight is for, large, heavy, non-urgent bulk shipments.
Yeah, nobody is sending a single t-shirt by cargo ship.
No, exactly. So for high-value, fast e-commerce, we're talking about air freight. The guide breaks down the timelines. Economy options take 1 to 3 weeks, standard air takes 3 to 7 business days, and express shipping takes 2 to 4 business days.
Which is incredibly fast.
But wait, let me push back on that for a second. 2 to 4 days from Canada to the UK with express. I've had domestic packages take longer to cross a single province.
Oh, for sure.
How is it physically possible for air freight to be that consistent unless the business is located literally inside an airport terminal?
Well, it comes down to origin hubs and a physical mechanism that most people never think about, which is belly cargo.
Belly cargo, like
Yeah.
underneath passenger planes.
Exactly. When you fly from Toronto to London on a commercial airline, you are sitting above a massive, highly optimized logistics operation. Passenger flights actually carry a huge percentage of the world's e-commerce goods.
Oh, wow. So it's not all just dedicated FedEx or DHL planes.
No, not at all. Toronto is the largest gateway simply because it has a high flight frequency. But you also have Montreal providing direct access for Eastern Canada, Vancouver as the major West Coast hub, and Calgary is really growing as a hub for Western Canada.
So they basically piggyback on the sheer volume of human travel.
Exactly. And they all funnel into specific UK destination hubs. London is the primary entry point because Heathrow has super fast clearance.
Right, the infrastructure is there.
Yeah. But you also have Manchester as the distribution hub for Northern England. Birmingham is the central access point. Glasgow handles the Scottish market. And Liverpool is a great alternative to Manchester.
Okay, but even with all those hubs, an Airbus flies at the exact same speed over the Atlantic, whether the cargo in the belly is economy or express. You can't just bribe the pilot to fly faster.
Right. The speed isn't in the air, the speed is on the tarmac.
Oh, interesting.
When a business pays for express, they're basically paying to skip the line. It's priority ground handling. The package bypasses standard holding queues and goes straight on to the next flight.
I see.
But more importantly, while the plane is 30,000 feet over the Atlantic, the electronic data for that shipment is already being transmitted and processed by UK Customs.
Wait, really? So before it even lands?
Yep. By the time the wheels touch down at Heathrow, it's already cleared. The box just has to be unloaded, sorted into a fast lane, and handed off to a local courier. It's a highly choreographed ballet.
Okay, so physical speed is basically a solved problem. We've mastered the tarmac ballet.
We have.
But, planes and boats mean nothing if the goods hit a brick wall at the border. The real barrier isn't the ocean, it's the paperwork.
Oh, the paperwork moat. It is brutal.
Yeah, let's talk about that moat. Because physical speed is impressive, but the UK customs process involves document review, goods classification, assessing duties and VAT, and potential inspections.
And if anything is wrong, they don't operate on goodwill.
Right. There are three crucial documents here: the airway bill, which is the shipping contract, the packing list, and the commercial invoice, which is the most important one because it's used to assess taxes.
Exactly. And the linchpin of that commercial invoice is the HS code.
The Harmonized System Code.
Right. It classifies goods for international trade to determine duties. Incorrect HS codes, incomplete descriptions, or mismatched values, those are the top reasons for customs delays.
Let's pause on the HS code for a second because it sounds like a secret government language.
It kind of is.
If a business gets lazy and just uses a generic description like clothing instead of the exact code, what actually happens at the border? Do they just guess, or does the whole shipment freeze?
Oh, customs agents do not guess. If you just write clothing, the shipment freezes completely.
Wow.
Yeah, because clothing could be a cheap cotton shirt with a low tariff. Or it could be a luxury leather coat that has a huge duty to protect local manufacturers. They need the exact classification.
So the 3-day express speed just evaporates.
Completely. The package goes into a holding cage, customs flags it, contacts the carrier contacts the seller, and you have to submit amended paperwork.
What a nightmare.
It is. Your 3-day shipment takes 3 weeks, and you're paying storage fees the whole time.
Yikes. Okay, so crossing the border successfully leads to the next massive hurdle, which is the financial toll. It's not just about what a package weighs.
No, not at all.
We have to talk about dimensional weight or volumetric weight because carriers charge based on size, not just actual weight.
Exactly. It's the hidden rule of international pricing that catches so many new businesses off guard.
Dimensional weight is basically like the airplane seat rule for boxes. Like, if you ship a giant box of bubble wrap, it might be incredibly light, but it takes up the space of 3 seats on the plane.
Right.
You're paying for the real estate on the plane, not the gravity of the box.
That is the perfect analogy. Airlines run out of physical space in the cargo hold long before they hit their weight limits. If you use a huge box for a tiny item, you're paying international shipping rates to move empty air.
So optimizing packaging is critical.
It's make or break. You need right-sized boxes, you need to minimize empty space.
Plus, you have variable costs like fuel surcharges and remote delivery
Oh
fees.
yeah, rates fluctuate constantly based on seasonal demand too.
Okay, so you've optimized the box, but we still have to deal with the taxes. The UK charges value-added tax, VAT, and import duties based on the item's value and that HS code we talked about.
Yep, the tax man always collects.
But the big dilemma for a business is who actually pays that tax. This brings us to DDP versus DDU.
This is such a critical strategic decision.
Let's break it down. DDP is delivered duty paid. That means the sender pays upfront, ensuring a smooth customer experience.
Right, the customer in London just gets the box at their door, no friction.
But then there's DDU delivered duty unpaid.
And this is where things get messy. With DDU, the customer gets hit with a surprise bill at the door.
So the delivery driver literally asks for money.
Yeah, basically. The carrier pays the tax to get it through customs and then holds the package hostage at the doorstep until the customer reimburses them, plus an admin fee.
Oh man, if I already paid for shipping at checkout and then a driver asked me for another £30, I'd be furious.
Most people are. It often leads to refused shipments. The customer says, "No thanks." The business loses the sale, and the seller has to pay to ship it all the way back to Canada.
So DDU is just a terrible idea if you want repeat customers.
It destroys customer retention, absolutely.
Okay, so let's summarize this chaos. You have to manage dimensional weight, choose between DDP and DDU, fill out commercial invoices perfectly, and hunt down 10-digit HS codes.
It's exhausting just talking about it.
Right. For small and medium e-commerce businesses, doing this manually is impossible. You'd need a whole logistics department just to sell a few sweaters.
Small businesses really get penalized here because they have low volume, so they don't get access to discounted carrier rates.
Which is why technology steps in to level the playing field. The source material highlights shipping platforms like Freightcom.
Yeah, these platforms are a game changer for smaller operations.
Because they centralize the process. They offer real-time rate comparisons across multiple carriers, flexible speeds, automated document generation.
And the discounts. Don't forget the discounts.
Right. But how does that work? How does a software platform get a mom-and-pop shop the same rate as a massive retail corporation?
It's about pooled volume. The platform aggregates the shipments of thousands of small businesses. So instead of one business bringing 50 boxes to the airline, the platform brings 50,000.
Ah, so they buy cargo space in bulk and pass the savings down.
Exactly. It gives small businesses the leverage they wouldn't have on their own.
So a platform like Freightcom acts like a virtual shipping department. But I have to ask, does it actually remove the need for a business owner to understand all the custom stuff we just talked about? Or does it just organize the chaos so you don't make a costly typo?
That's a great question. It's mostly the latter. It organizes the chaos.
Okay.
It doesn't magically know what you're selling, so you still need to understand your products. But it automates the workflows. It prompts you for the HS code. It generates the commercial invoice automatically.
So it puts guardrails up.
Yes. It prevents you from making the simple manual errors that get packages thrown into customs cages.
That makes total sense. It lets small businesses focus on growing their actual product line rather than acting as full-time logistics coordinator.
Exactly. You want to be an entrepreneur, not a paper pusher.
Right. So, to recap this whole journey, shipping from Canada to the UK requires navigating strict timelines, choosing between air and ocean freight.
It requires mastering that paperwork mode with HS codes and commercial invoices.
It demands optimizing the physical package to beat the dimensional weight map.
And, of course, utilizing centralized platforms to secure the best rates and just automate the friction away.
It's an incredible balancing act. Whether you're running a business or just, you know, marveling at global trade, international shipping is this delicate balance of speed, compliance, and cost control.
It really is a modern miracle that it works as well as it does.
It is. And it leaves me with this final thought for you to chew on. As these tech platforms continue to automate away the customs friction, and express shipping shrinks the globe to a mere 48-hour transit window.
Yeah.
Are we rapidly approaching a future where the psychological barrier between domestic and international commerce completely disappears from the human experience?
Oh, that is a wild thought. If shipping from London, Ontario takes the same time and effort as shipping from London, England.
Right. The borders just vanish. Something to think about the next time you click that buy button. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.